B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. I try to wait till the beat to drop. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike.
Yeah, I start too early in here.
610-632-0975. I mean, before I start talking, sometimes I like to let the beat drop a little bit on
there. I started doing the beat. You know, I was whistling in here. I went a little too early. Jumped the gun here.
I hate that. Just like sometimes you're singing along with a song and it come out of the chorus and now you have to get to the second verse and you do like the third verse instead.
Yes.
Like, oh, you get so mad because
my mom always does that. And you know what she always says?
What?
My mom always says, oh, they sang the wrong words again.
Oh.
That's what she says. That's it, Mom.
Now, that shouldn't matter, but it almost makes me want to restart the song. To get it right, like, oh, yeah. Come on. All right. So the word of the day today, and Brian Westbrook was fantastic that whole 4 o'clock hour. Andrew, Natalie, I think we've tried to have a conversation today. Again, if you're just tuning in, the word of the day is help. And we've been talking about with George Floyd, and it's the big story in the world. And then in addition to that, Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz decide to both release statements on it, which is, it's become contagious. Joe Burrow did it. And now during the show, there's been more people. Obviously, I can't keep track of all the athletes now who don't look like George Floyd, who are speaking about George Floyd. And the officer has been charged with third degree murder and manslaughter. This conversation, I understand, can be uncomfortable. And I said that at the top of the show. And if you are uncomfortable, I apologize, but perhaps there are times when we should be uncomfortable. Perhaps there are times where being uncomfortable is worth it. And I believe that with a society going the way, this is a positive development in that George Floyd passed away unnecessarily. And it seems like there's growth. There seems like there's something positive coming through this. And I understand that there were riots and everything else. And I said later in the show I would address the riots, so I will do this quickly. I am not saying that I am good with rioting. What I am saying is that peace doesn't work either. So what I'm saying is if anybody has a method, every time, no matter what kind of way people protest, they usually are criticized for how they do it. And I'm not going to go there. But what I'm going to say is that when people try it one way, and for a lot of times, and it doesn't work, they're going to try it another way. And will that way always be productive? No. But perhaps when they do it the way, the nice way, the way that should be agreeable, the way that we should embrace, we should pay more attention so that people don't feel the need to go more extreme. Now, again, I hope no one thinks that that was me saying that rioting or anything like that and looting was necessarily what was positive. What I'm saying is that we are very aware in sports world of nonviolent protest that people also didn't like. So what we have to come up with then, while we have this dialogue and not this hour, I'm saying in general, in a macro sense, we need to come up with a way that is acceptable enough or we have to come up with perhaps being less judgmental of the methods when no other methods seem to work. And the last thing I will say about that is I understand that people are against violence, and I am not a violent person. I'm against violence. I don't want to engage in any form of violence or have any violence towards me. But I will say the start of the violence was a man's knee on a man's neck. The start of the violence wasn't what happened the last couple of nights. So as long as you're not okay with any of the violence, fine. But let's not pretend that what happened the last couple of nights that gripped the country, especially last night, was the start of the violence. The start of the violence, if we're being honest, and this should be an honest space for everyone, was when the knee went on the neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. That was violent. And then the reaction started peaceful, didn't work, and got violent. And I think that's honest, and I'm giving that opinion because I was asked, and then we'll move on. But is that fair?
Yes, because that's I feel like you're encompassing the whole timeline of this event, if you will. You're encompassing from start, the violence started in that moment,
uh-huh.
And then this was the aftermath from that violent moment.
Right.
That resulted in somebody's death. And, you know, if physical contact resulting in death is generally violent, whether it's kneeling on somebody or shooting somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just want to make that clear.
That's violence.
So I want to make it clear.
Yeah.
I don't own riot gear. I'm not keeping milk in my house in case I get tear gassed. But I know the other ways never work either. 610-632-0975. Tony in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
How you doing, Todd? This is Tony P. from Philly.
How you doing, buddy?
And you're absolutely right. You're talking about that, and excuse me because I'm getting emotional, but first of all, I want to say, just like Brian Westbrook said, there was police officers standing around watching this police officer do what he did. And then the police officers that were standing around that could prevent it, they're not getting charged with anything.
That's still apparently being investigated. So far they have not been charged with anything. Only the one officer who had the knee on his neck.
Right, I understand that. And second thing I want to say is that I'm pretty sure all the people seeing the violence and the looting things that they're doing is bringing attention. But when the boy who got shot with the three men who tracked him down mm-hmm. with the shotgun, after they being civil and tried to get some attention, look how long it took for them to bring the tape up for anything to get started.
Right.
And then how long it took for the guy who was filming it to get charged.
Right.
The same way he was filming it, he could have been calling 911.
Clearly he could have been. You're absolutely right about that, Tony. And that's why I said, go ahead, Tony.
So I'm going to move on to Carson Wentz.
Yes.
And I amend him, and I believe he's a true Christian. And for all the Christians that's out there, if they don't see that everybody should be immune or outraged with this, believe in the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer say, Our Father, which means everybody. And if they don't see it, and they could be prejudiced or whatever, but we all have to understand it's our Father who art in heaven. And he believes in all of us. He created all of us. And you can put all your little prejudices aside. And some people are prejudiced because they shame to say that they are end lovers. But they may not be prejudiced from the heart, but they don't want to speak up because they don't want to be labeled.
Now, I get you. I get you. And that's all that stuff's out there, but yeah, that's what I was saying. It's that doing it the quote-unquote right way many times doesn't work. But as soon as somebody starts doing things the wrong way, it gets the attention and stuff happens. So it's always like you ask a person, if you were starving, would you steal? The answer is always yes. You're not going to die.
Right.
If you were starving, would you steal? You would absolutely steal if you were starving because you don't want to die. None of us are thieves. None of us want to rob anything. But would you steal a loaf of bread if you were starving? You would. Or if your kids were starving, you would. You would do extreme measures when you felt like you needed to do extreme measures.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that I think gets lost. So that would mean if we got caught stealing, we would still be punished for stealing. It is still wrong to steal. But there may have been a reason why you were doing something.
Well, and it's so easy, I think, sometimes for people to sit in their homes and observe what's happening and cast judgment on it when this has been an issue that this country has been dealing with for hundreds of years. So clearly it hasn't been figured out yet. Nobody's figured out how to make it stop, how to handle it, how to protest against it correctly. There's not one person who has said this is how we should solve it because this is how it will work. Nobody knows. So what? this is just I don't know what to do. So this is how this is what I think should happen today, and then tomorrow it could be something different. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's the point. But I see it on social media. You should be the first one going out against. No, I should not be. Not if I'm being honest, because I can't do that if I'm being honest, because yesterday the DA, the prosecutor comes out and says, hey, there may be reason for no charges. Bunch of bad stuff happens, and all of a sudden the guy's in custody with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Do I believe that today he's in custody without the rights? Now, maybe eventually they get around to it, but not today. He wouldn't be spending the weekend in jail.
Right.
And why does it take that? That's the crux here. Why does it take that to get some sort of semblance of justice? That's not justice.
Right, but this is just the step
yes.
to get to justice.
Yeah.
And again, I'll just move on. Joey, South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
How you doing, Joey?
How you doing, Joey? This is disgusting. Here's the problem here with this whole situation. Are we supposed to just ignore the fact that there were three total officers on this man? Not just one.
Yeah.
There were three officers kneeling on this man, but one gets charged.
I mean,
I don't understand that at all. Go ahead.
That is interesting because if this was a third degree murder, I give you an example. If you and I, Joey, go to a store and we're going to rob the store and you, Joey, shot the clerk and I'm there, I'm still charged. You get what I'm saying? Even if I didn't do it because I was with you, I would be charged. Yet in this case, there were definitely officers with him complicit in what he was doing and only one charge. So in that way, that is a very legit question, but I'm trying to have patience and wait and see if there will be more coming from this. But you bring up a good point.
Yeah, and to take it one step further, it's not as if the two other officers were watching. They actually had a physical role in it. They were also on top of this man. So, you know, I'm upset over that fact alone. And the problem here is this, you know, this issue in America should fall on the shoulders of the mayors of the states with the police, because, you know, the police commissioners, they report to the mayor. I don't know how police officers who wear this badge go around and abuse their power like this. And the sad truth is, before there's a real change in this country, as far as deaths that shouldn't happen go, another instance like this is going to occur first.
And that's what's disgusting. That's sad. That's sad to think about, but unfortunately I can't say, oh no, it'll be different next time. I can't say that. I don't know. I hope it's different next time. But a lot of times with these conversations, and this is something that is difficult, is I'm not trying, I don't think I've come off anti-police.
You're not anti-police.
In this particular case, though, what that situation needed was one of the good officers to just say, get off of them, put them in the car, call it a day. And unfortunately, there were a bunch of officers, but zero of the good officers that we hear about
that could have
easily saved a man's life.
Because if you take the word police out of it and you want to phrase it, it could be what we're watching is abuse of power, perpetual abuse of power that is resulting in death. That's what we're watching. And as somebody who holds power, people abusing it, that should kind of infuriate you, because they're the people, there are so many good people who are trying to do the right thing to make this world better and sign up for that role.
Right.
And what's happening, the abuse of power is at a detriment to the people who are trying to do the right thing.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. And it's tough. It's tough, but I think we're trying to work our way through it. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, hi guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, man. Trying to get through.
Yeah, trying to get through. So just listen to the conversation, and to understand that in this sense of who black people, and especially guys, what you spoke about and Brian, about just the wellness and the help, and seeking that, the flight and fight as far as the protests go, flight and fight. So in this sense of this young man losing his life, it was about fighting, showing the powers that be that the community had enough. I mean, in 3 weeks, we went from Georgia to Louisville to Minnesota, to Minneapolis.
Yeah, the Louisville has kind of gotten lost. The woman that, yes, in the home, you're right, because we've become, we can't walk and chew gum at the same time anymore. We can only just go one topic. So we paid attention to the young lady that passed away in Louisville, and there's been protests there. Those aren't barely getting covered because we're on to the next thing. That's a good point, Anthony.
And so, like, as we move forward, and how do we move forward? Roy Holiday, if I can bring him up, was a person who was at the top of his game.
Yes. Hall of Famer. Wise. Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Yes, but he's mentally, he suffered.
He did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And based on, you ask, well, how does this society deal with seeking help? Well, this society says Looney Tunes. This society says Animaniacs. This society portrays anybody that has mental health issues in a comical way. And so no one, man or female, male or female, wants to step up. But it starts in the home. The culture of the family is the only way these things are going to stop from occurring as far as not seeking help.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. Now, Andrew, you're younger than the two of us, and newly married, less than a year, and your wife is a health professional, not mental, a health professional.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, I'm assuming the plan is not today, but family, house, kids, etc., and you'll be the quote-unquote head of the household. Do you think, I'm asking you, and again, there is no wrong answer, I didn't prep you for this, do you think that you would have the fortitude to ask for help if you needed it, once you're the head of the household and all that kind of thing?
I would hope that I do. But, you know, God bless me so far that I'm still, like, I'm okay.
You're good. Yeah,
I'm good,
you're good,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I haven't thought about it, right? But, you know, there's been times where financially I didn't want to say anything, right? Yeah, like, there have been times.
I want to say that out loud. I've absolutely been there, and it's crushing,
yes,
as a man. And it should not be, but it is.
Yes.
Flat out.
I've been through that. And whether it was early stages of radio, because you know what it's like.
No money.
You make nothing doing this when you first start out.
You don't make money now, but you really make no money.
Right, exactly.
When you start, yeah.
And even before that, you know, it's, you know, you're coming out of college, you got that, you all got all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And my wife was, obviously at the time, girlfriend, fiance, she was fortunate. She got right out through school into the nursing field, right?
So she's doing well because that's a well-paying field.
Right, exactly. But, like, for me, it was like, don't worry, I'll pay for dinner. And then, like, I'm looking at my bank statements afterward, and I'm like, I probably should have asked for help. So I would like to hope that, yes, I would ask for help if I need it. But I also do know that when it came to financial stuff early in our relationship, I didn't want to say anything because it is crushing.
Yeah.
Right? You're supposed to be the man.
Right.
You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be the one that puts the bread on the table and all that kind of stuff. You're supposed to wear the pants, right? Like, you hear that all the time. And I would hope that as more and more information comes out, right? Like, not only the Roy Halladay stuff, but, you know, the Headstrong that I brought up earlier, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I watched that, right?
Yeah,
like,
so did I, yeah.
That kind of stuff is, I don't know if it's inspiring. I don't know if it's eye-opening. I don't know what the correct term is, but I gain knowledge from it. And hopefully, yes, I or anyone that will be in that kind of a position down the road at some point, hopefully you don't have to be. Hopefully you're never in that position. But if you are, yeah, I would like to hope that because I do have a good circle. You brought up the circle, you know, because you had a tough year in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, I got a great wife who has great parents, who has a great sister, who has a great husband.
Right.
And then on my side, I have a great sister who has a great husband, who has great parents. My sister's parents, obviously my parents, right?
Like, right.
I have a good circle. So right. I would hope, yes, that I would be able to do that.
Yeah.
But it will be tough.
It's tough. And
it
that,
is.
And that's where we, I'm not, when I say we, I don't mean you guys. I mean we have to evolve and get to the point where it's okay, for whatever reason, to ask for help.
Well, right. And I think it's important to also say, if you're somebody who is struggling right now and you think that maybe you should ask for help, the people who love you and care about you, they want you to be better.
Yes, for sure.
At the end of the day. So it's, I feel like I have some very close friends who have struggled with addiction. It's perpetuated a lot of my life. And you think about their lives and you think, if only they felt comfortable enough to come to me and tell them, like, this is what I would do. So it's like, someone will miss you if you're gone. There's one person who will always miss you.
Yeah.
If you're gone.
Yeah.
There are people who care about you, and you should never be afraid, because this is all we have here. You know, and there are people who love you and they want you to come to them for help because they want to help you.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody has that. And if you don't, there's resources available.
Yes. And again, we're not experts.
No,
we're just talking,
no. I mean,
but there are experts available.
Right.
Yes.
Know way more about this than we do.
Exactly.
610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yes. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door and get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or visit goguida.com. And also, it's time for our final Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. Natalie.
Thanks, Ty. Today's poll had over 3,600 votes on it. Has your opinion of Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz changed because they spoke out? 17% say yes, 83% say no, and mostly saying it's yes for the positive.
Yes, indeed. So let's try to get some more phone calls in. We've had good conversation today. Ron in Williamsport, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Say yes.
I put Ron on hold because his radio
sound
was
good,
up.
Natalie.
Yeah, there you go. Fran in Southampton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Tyrone? Nat and Andrew, how are you?
All right, how are you? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the cop and everything. Like, yeah. I grew up in Philly. I grew up in North Philly. You know, I'm white. I grew up in North Philly. I moved up to Longcrest. So Longcrest back then was a pretty all-white neighborhood, basically.
Okay.
So, you know, they didn't even like me because I was from a black neighborhood.
I've heard such things about the neighborhoods back in the day in that area of Philly.
Yeah, so, it was a problem. And then black people moving in, it was a big problem with some of the people in that neighborhood, you know.
Yeah, I get you. Uh-huh. I know of people who segregated a neighborhood and weren't treated. I know personally of people who segregated a neighborhood and weren't treated so well in, like, the 2000s. But go ahead.
So, like, my thing is, like, a lot of the kids that were back then that were not poor black people are all now best friends with black people, married to black women, what have you. Like, it's a lot different now than what it was.
Right, right. We evolve. Hopefully we evolve.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it may take some time for all this to work itself out, like, and the riots and everything. Like, yeah, it's people say it's wrong, but it's not, because it's making everybody talk about it and everybody has an opinion on the actual thing that's causing it, not the riots itself, but they're having an opinion on what caused the riots.
Right. And that's the thing we shouldn't forget.
Yes.
Because and what I find is that people will be quick to do that. They'll basically act like everybody was just chilling at home, watching Netflix, and all at once, at the same time, based on nothing, just decided to start looting and robbing and lighting stuff on fire. Like, man, that Tiger King ended. We were bored.
Yeah.
And we said, let's go down to Target and burn it down.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to talk about the, and you have every right to your opinion, again, this is a conversation, whatever, but if you skip what caused it, then clearly you entered that conversation with an agenda because you just glossed over that little death thing, but God forbid you can't go to Target. And listen, everybody likes Target. Like, this is nothing against Target. What I'm saying is this was a human life. If you can gloss over a human life, you should be able to gloss over a fire that didn't kill anybody is really the point. I don't think that's unfair. Tate in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Ty? Y'all doing a great job covering this today.
Thank you.
I just wanted to kind of give an experience I had. It was last summer.
Uh-huh.
And I was pulled over directly in front of Woodgrove Mall. And I'm born and raised in Philly. Uh-huh. So I was pulled over, so I have a thing I do. I turn the car off. I put the keys in my left hand. And I wait until the officer is walking up. So when he's walking up, I stick my hand out the window and I put my keys on top of the car.
Gotcha.
Then I put both hands on the wheel. So the officer walked up. He was perfectly nice and courteous. But the first thing he said was, why are you being so cautious? Are you hiding something in there? And I said, I'm being cautious because where I'm from, if you don't be cautious, you die. You don't go home.
Right.
So it was a kind of a moment of silence between us, but it just gave me more anxiety, the disconnect of me, you know, what is this? What, as he's walking up, now he's not saying he was accusing me, but because of my caution, it made him feel like I was being nice because I was hiding something. Whereas, right.
So you're just trying to make sure he feels as safe as possible so you make it home safe. He can see both your hands. You're not going to drive off because the keys are on top of the car. He should feel very safe as he approaches me. And you doing that caused him to think, oh, he must have drugs in the car. Oh, he must have a gun in the car. And that could end up escalating. And that's the thing. And I'm glad you're bringing this up because there is nothing that will guarantee our safety.
Right.
And that's what's disturbing. And you're not worried about getting a ticket.
No.
You're not worried about getting a citation.
No.
You're worried about getting home.
Home.
And that's so different.
Like I said, he was perfectly nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But afterwards, it didn't help my anxiety for when my sons get I'm pulled over. I'm 51. The officer was probably maybe like 30, early 30s.
Right.
So it's like anyone that has a television should know. Look how many countless incidents happened after last summer and before. So it's like I just want him to do his job. I just want to, you know, it's fine. It happened to be a mistake of identity, you know, my name, something, whatever. But the fact that 3 seconds of silence when he looked at me. And I said that, he just was like a blank stare. I guess it may have hit him then, but it's like, to me, it just made it seem like we're just so much further away from both sides seeing the seriousness and the anxiety. Because you know, Ty, no matter how mad you get, no matter how hurt you get when you see these things, when those lights are in your rearview mirror, it's a high level of anxiety that you have when you're sitting there.
It's absolutely, you're absolutely fearful. And that's the another thing that's tough. And there's nothing to solve this in that the police are going to be armed and the police should be armed. And the police are trained to use said firearms and how to react if somebody else has a firearm because they're trained police officers. But now I was not trained. I am not trained. So then how do I act to guarantee my safety with a person who outguns me literally, who has training? So I'm nervous, not because I'm a criminal. I'm nervous because I'm afraid. That person has been trained on how to handle these situations and has a gun and I don't. So it's already not an even playing field. And I'm not suggesting that it should be, but I'm saying from the start, it's not exactly like an even relationship.
Well, and
in the best of times.
It's interesting how he just said, you know, he walked up and then because he was so cautious, he said, oh, are you hiding something? Why is that the initial perception? That is the deeper issue, I think. But because
at the same time, though, I think that they're trained. And many times they probably get people that day. If you do have drugs in the car, if you do have a legal gun in the car, if you do got somebody hidden in the trunk, you would be nervous when the cops pull you over. So that's the tough part. Like many times the cop is doing the proper procedure, but what they're sensing as anxiety for a crime is anxiety of fear for their life. So that's the tough part, because I guarantee many times when you pull somebody over and they're really nervous, they do have a gun, drugs.
So, but here's a different situation. I got pulled over, when was it, last year? You know,
it's what, that illegal Huey?
Yes.
My hood.
Yeah, that illegal Huey you pulled.
I didn't know. I didn't see the sign, but I was shaking. I was so nervous. You know what I mean? I didn't really know what I did. But no one's saying to me, oh, are you hiding something?
I got you.
That's what I mean.
Right.
And I was scared and I was cautious and I sat there and I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do right now? This is scary. I didn't even know what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But no one asked me if I was hiding something. Why is that instinctually the perception? That's the problem.
Right. But that I'm saying that's the fine line.
Yeah.
That I have to walk.
Yes.
And the police have to walk, because I guarantee in the training, you're looking for somebody. They feel like if you're innocent, you'll be calm. And I bet you, since the majority of people are Caucasian, if you get pulled over, Andrew, how do you feel? What goes through your mind?
Oh, damn, I have to pay money for this ticket. Like, literally, that's it. Like, if I get pulled over, it's,
right.
It's not, oh my God, I better, put my hands up and
right.
I don't have a gun, right? Like, it's, for me, it's, oh damn, I have to pay for this ticket.
So I feel like you would more likely be calm.
Yes.
But if they pull you over and you are really nervous, it's probably because you got a kilo of cocaine or something in the trunk.
Right.
So you get the training says, that's what I'm saying. I do think that this is going to have to go back to like bare minimum levels, and we're going to have more conversations like this with police and all kinds of things
to bridge
that kind of gap.
Yeah.
That feeling when you're pulled over. I think so. 610-632-0975. I'll get to as many calls as I can before the end of the show.
Was that the allergy grunt?
Come on, man.
Sir.
All right. Let's finish strong, people. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There we go.
All yes.
Right. How do you close the show?
Mm-hmm.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson. In for Mike Missinelli, 610-632-0975. I want to get to as many calls. I want to thank everybody today. This has been, I know, uncomfortable at times, but I think this is necessary, and I appreciate each and every one of us who have participated in this, whether you called, listened, watched, whatever. I think this was good so far today. Let's see if we can finish strong. Frank in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Hey, Tyrone. Hey, Nat. Andrew, my main man.
What's up, Frank?
Hello. Hey. Oh, all right. How you guys doing? Listen,
good.
Thank you, man. I wanted to table, a sensitive topic that, if I may say, I am not completely comfortable with. It's kind of out of my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't pretend to be scholarly on it. But let me preface by saying I really enjoy you guys. I think Nat, Ty, you guys have great conviction, passion, even when the old dog has, you know, you could disagree with the old head, but you back it up with facts. So I'm impressed. I really am. No worries. So kudos to the Johnson and Eganoff rents, by the way. So let me start. There is no room for bigotry under my roof, nor in society. It shouldn't be pervasive, but unfortunately it is. And it was disappointing to hear Tate's story because, and let me ask, my son-in-law is a cop, a detective now, thankfully, he's with the Attorney General's office. So when these egregious things happen, guys, this irates him.
Good.
As it should.
Good.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
No. And what really irks him is, obviously, it's a smaller percentage, but why, as society, it saddens me how we could take one step forward, two steps back. And I was going to bring up the point about how do you mollify the situation? Tyrone, being African American,
yeah,
yourself, I don't know. But Tate kind of answered. I thought, well, if you put your hands up, office, you know, I thought that was the remedy. But Tate just dispelled my thought process. And
honestly, Frank, I don't, if I could solve it, I would. I'm not smart enough to solve it. I think it's just going to awareness. But I think talking about it, and that's why I started the show, and throughout the show, we've given kudos to Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz. That goes a long way because, and it's in a way sad that he has to say something. George Floyd or me or Brian Westbrook or us saying it should be enough in theory, but it's not. And we understand that. We live in the real world. But once Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz says it, more people say, you know what, this is a real problem. And once you acknowledge the problem, you can solve it. But when you don't acknowledge the problem, that's in your personal life, that's in a macro sense, whatever, if you can't even acknowledge the problem, you definitely will not fix the problem. And I think this, he will go a long way, locally, nationally, however much legs his comment has, and a lot of national people picked up on that comment and thanked Carson Wentz, just like I did, Natalie did, a lot of people did. That's the start, because now we can all agree it's a problem, get on the same page that it is a problem, and then work out a solution. But the first thing, we still have to get to the point where we even agree across the board that it is a problem. Because a lot of people will tell, if you look at the stats and and they'll tell me it's not a problem. So let's just get there first, and then get to a solution. Awareness still, we're still in the awareness stage. We're not even in the solution stage yet, I don't think. Cliff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone, how's it going, man?
What's up, Cliff?
Listen, I don't call in. I'm going to make this short and sweet, not take up the time. I got 2 points real quick. I was talking to people today, and one of my first, you inspired me, because exactly like you said, you know, if there was no protest, would the fast action have been taken? I understand due process, but, you know, it kind of caused it, so I do believe that.
Yeah.
The first thing that I want to say is these are COVID times, right?
Yes.
Okay. What the hell were those cops doing on that man for 8 minutes? This wasn't a World Star video worthy video of some craziness. This was a man who was saying he couldn't breathe. Not to say the due process thing again, but that proves to me somewhere in my heart that man, he knew there was another agenda. So I know you can't argue that in a court of law, but right there, I would say these cops weren't trained.
Well, there's rumors. There's rumors out there. Rumors. I don't know if they're any true. There's rumors that there's a possibility that the officer knew George Floyd. Or in a rumor. I don't know if it's true at all. What I'm saying is now that he's charged, they'll look into that closer. I guarantee if he knew him, it will no longer be third degree murder. If he knew him, it will then rise to first degree murder, because then if he knew him, because then it's not random. So, and there, again, it's a rumor. So I don't know if it's true at all. So what you're saying, I can't argue with, but there is going to have to be some more time, some facts on all of that.
Right. Well, okay. To the second point, I'm glad you said the rumor thing, because this is not factual yet, but just in general, right? There's a narrative with the media. There's a narrative, I believe, in general. And that, did you see that thing with CNN reporters getting busted this morning and all that turmoil that went down over those guys getting arrested on live TV?
Yeah, I saw them get arrested.
Okay. Total misunderstanding or whatever they claim. When have you ever seen media get arrested like that, especially covering something so sensitive, right?
Never.
So, So my friends call me Conspiracy Cliff, but here's the point to what I'm saying. Ferguson, right? Let's just take Ferguson.
Nah, I'm not going conspiracy. I'm trying to keep this laser focused. The dude got arrested. I don't believe the dude was in on it. That's his conspiracy theory, is that the cop was in on it. So it's CNN ahead of time, paid a cop to make a false arrest. Like, come on, man. God just made, it was a mistake. And why would the governor apologize? You know what?
Well, and I think it's before people reach to say that things are staged, realistically, think about what would have to go into that.
Come on, man. Like, it's, come on. And if that's the case, if it's that easy to do that, then what, you're really insulting the cops. If it's that easy to just make them do that on TV and make the whole department look bad, which is what it did. Like, come on. Like, no. Mike in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey. What's up, Mike? Hey, guys. How you doing? Great job today.
Thank you.
All right. I have a mild solution. I'm going to make this quick.
Okay.
So if you took these, those police, after that video came out, and this goes to the one that happened down in Georgia and also the young lady, if they're arrested right away, charged to the maximum for what they did, are we having this conversation?
No.
Is that building burning?
No.
So it goes back to, they keep dropping the ball time and time again, and it goes back to Rodney King. I'm 51. So it goes back to then. Had those officers been charged, and they'll stop doing it. You have to snip it in the bud, but as long as they get off and get away with it, they're going to continue doing it. So you have, if these guys go to jail for 30 years, the next person, the next time, that officer is going to think twice about it.
Yeah, at the same time, there's been a lot of studies post 9/11. Because of how brave the first responders were on 9/11, it has become increasingly difficult to prosecute first responders. Because, like, we actually, in polls, people are now much more comfortable questioning military people than first responders anymore after 9/11.
If they would have locked those guys up that as soon as that video hit, now they could have been downstairs having a latte and donuts. But if you take them in and put on the show, you don't have that.
You're right, but at the same time, they don't want to give, some of these people don't want to give us anything. All right, so thanks so much for everybody that listened, called, watched today. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks to Booney, as usual. Thanks to Connor, he's been doing a great job. Thanks to Andrew, double duty today. Thanks to Natalie. All right, on the radio side next, Devon Givens, you got to keep it locked. I know he's going to have something to say about this. He's going to be fantastic. On the TV side, Lunch Talk Live, and then I'm looking forward to this as well. Game one of the 1983 NBA Finals. I think if you watch the game, this will be another one that you enjoy. Everyone, it's been a tough week, but let's have a good weekend here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.